If you want to be happier in 2023, we've got some advice. The longest running study on happiness going back to 1938 has found that the single most important thing for a happy life is relationships. Relationships are more important than wealth, IQ, or social status. So what can we do about it? Our next guest has a 7-day challenge for us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to strengthen your social connections this year? How do you plan on doing that? Do you feel like you're somebody who's really good at building and maintaining those interpersonal relationships? Or do you let them fall by the wayside like, well, some of us, I won't name any names, me. Call 800-642-1234 with your experiences, with your questions for our guest. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Jancy Dunn is a columnist for the Well Desk at the New York Times. She recently wrote about ways to boost your relationships for better overall health. Jancy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've heard this over the years, that relationships, they're a big part of our happiness. I guess it kind of makes sense. But this long-running study going back to 1938 really hammers it home. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So, yes, it was from the Depression era. That's when it started. And it's called the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And it began in Boston. And it gradually, over the years, it mushroomed to three different generations. It grew to 1,300 people. And it was incredibly detailed. The researchers asked these, you know, they followed people throughout their lives and asked them very nosy questions. And they really did find that the key to happiness, the single decision that you could best ensure your own health and happiness, it was to cultivate warm relationships. And that's relationships of all kinds. It isn't just, you know, if you happen to have a partner or, you know, parents or your kids, it's everybody. It's friendships, which are very easy to neglect. You just kind of take your friends for granted. I do it too. And it's even what are called weak ties, people that you don't even know that well, that you maybe see their faces in your neighborhood. So it's every kind of relationship.
Well, the idea that we can do something about that, though, I think is super interesting, because we might think, I am who I am. I'm a people person, or I'm an introvert. I don't really, you know, form a lot of connections like that. We'll get to your challenge in a bit. But clearly, as you write in your piece, we do have some control over this.
Yes. And, you know, I wanted to make it very clear. And I had the author of the book, The Good Life, you know, on which we based this 7-day challenge, to reassure readers and anyone who wanted to participate that it is not just about being an extrovert. I know how hard it is. I'm an introvert. You would never know it because I've trained myself to present as an extrovert because I interview people all day long. But in fact, you know, I'm often dying inside when I'm talking to people. And so, you know, introverts, there's tons of research that they need social connections too. They just are different kinds of social connections. You know, everybody needs people. So it's not about, you know, turning yourself into an extrovert if that's not what you're about. And another anxiety that people had was, okay, well, how many friends do I need in order to be, you know, healthy and happy? There is not a number that you need. You know, if you have a couple of friends, but they're really sustained, wonderful relationships, great. It's not about being hung up about that. And yet another group of people, both in the study and with us, said, well, is it too late for me? And it's never too late. And you can start small and, you know, build your way up. But what I found about the research that was really interesting in all of us at the Well Desk was that the authors introduced a concept called social fitness. And they say that you should incorporate social fitness into your fitness regimen the way you would exercise or nutrition or rest, that you have to think about your relationships and how you can maintain them for a healthier life. And I find that even if I have like an off week where I'm getting enough sleep and I'm, you know, being at least somewhat healthy, I think, oh, I know it's off. I haven't really talked to anybody that I care about. And that's an important part of this regimen.
Talking to Jancy Dunn, columnist for The Well at the New York Times. getting a prescription, a challenge for happiness to boost our relationships in 7 easy steps. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you take active steps to stay in touch with that old friend, make new friends, make small talk with people who aren't friends at all, just people maybe around the neighborhood at the store? These all help. These all work. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Before we go to our callers, Jancy, let's get into some of our steps here. And step one, day one of this challenge is to assess our social fitness, our connections with people. Tell us a little bit about how we can do that.
Well, you know, it's just about looking around to see who's in your life and who, you know, there's all kinds of different relationships that you have. And they said that in the book as well, the researchers, that there's even different kinds of friendships, people that you go to for advice, people that can make you laugh, people that you can really tell your innermost secrets to. And so it was about kind of looking around and seeing what the different realms are and where you maybe could do a little better. It's not some sort of shaming exercise about like, oh, I don't have enough friends. It's more about, you know, everyone's craving connection. And we found that after COVID, right, that people just really missed being around other people. And so that's kind of what it's about. We have a quiz so you can kind of assess where you might crave a little bit more connection. And then we did some exercises from there.
And some of those exercises, now day two here, we know who maybe we want to, after doing the self-assessment, there's a little more to it than that. We might know who we want to start reconnecting with. I love this. Like I'm always like, okay, I'm going to be better this year. Really vague challenges like this. This is really concrete. 8-minute phone call. Tell us about the 8-minute phone call plan.
I know it's incredibly specific, isn't it? And we came up with that because we saw this research that people get really tense about when to end a phone call. There was one study that we cited that only 2% of people that were studied got off the phone at the same time. There's either the people that love to talk and talk and talk, like my father, or the people that rush you off the phone and there was just no good time. And there's even a social cue that there's other research about this. When people want to hang up, they say, "So anyway." And my mother, who's not a long talker, will say, "I'll let you go." And what that means is, please let me go. Right. And so there's this disparity in what people want. And there's already, especially among some younger generations, there's anxiety around phone calls. And so I said in a meeting, like I've been doing lately with some of my busy friends, how about 8 minutes? Because 5 minutes is too short. 10 minutes, there's the danger of it going 15 minutes, 20, 30, you know, that could be a problem. And then when we talked to Bob Waldinger, who wrote the book, The Good Life, he said, okay, I agree that 8 minutes is enough time to establish a real connection. And if you go in kind of in an intentional way, as funny as it sounds with the 8 minutes, I do understand how funny it sounds. You can, if you know you have a heart out, number one, takes away that anxiety. Number two, 8 minutes, dispense with small talk, get right into it. You can tackle a problem together. You can go over an issue, or you can update each other on what's going on. And then after the 8 minutes, I did one yesterday with my friend Lauren. You say, all right, see ya, we'll talk soon. And that's the end of it. And you try to make a practice of doing it regularly. But what I do is I just text the people with whom I do this and say like, okay, do you have time this week? Anytime? You know, it doesn't have to be this rigid thing. But people have really taken to it, including Jennifer Aniston. She reposted it on her Instagram stories. We were like, whoa. I mean, she's probably pretty busy, right? So she took to it. We got a little flutter of excitement from that one. So, yeah. So that's one of the exercises.
Yeah, 8 minutes isn't even long enough for a typical Midwestern goodbye, honestly. Like, well, let you get to it. Careful on the ice out there, you know, that kind of stuff.
Let's bring it up. Anyway, right. Yeah.
Let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. Carly is with us in Kewaunee. Carly, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about?
Well, I was just wondering opinions or advice. You know, we all have the friends that we, you know, don't talk to for a long time, and then we reconnect, and that's fine. We all like have that understanding because life's busy. But then I have a friend who, you know, me and another friend will constantly reach out. We all have kids the same age. Do you want to go here together? Let's try to get together this time. And she always has something to do. But then when she goes and does something fun, she doesn't reach out to us to join her. And then same with, like, text messages. Like, we'll be like, how's it going? This is what's going on in our lives. And she'll be like, oh, nothing. And, like, gives no detail, doesn't want to, you know. It's like, we know she's our friend, but she just puts zero effort into our friendship. So it's like, do we just continue to keep being like, do you want to be our friend? Can we, like, beg you to be our friend? Like, be our friend, be our friend. And then
gotcha.
She just kind of hits back.
Carly, thanks for the call. I mean, that's not uncommon, I think, Jancy, the unrequited friendship. My suggestion would be, yeah, keep trying to reach out, but maybe don't focus all your friend energy there.
Yeah, I would say the exact same thing, because everybody has one of those elusive friends. And one of our exercises is to put a date on the calendar. And, you know, we've all been guilty of this, and we all have friends that do this where they'll say, oh, we have to get together sometime. And then it just sort of dies. But if you say, how about next Tuesday? Then you sort of, you know, at least try to pin them on it. But I agree with you. Like, at some point you have to direct your energies elsewhere, because the good thing about people is that there's lots of them. I mean, it's a nice resource to have, right? They're right in front of you, which is another thing that we liked about the challenge. Like, it's kind of unlimited.
Carly, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck. We're talking to New York Times columnist Jancy Dunn about ways to make our relationships and our social networks stronger, which it turns out is the best way to get happier, with 7 easy steps. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found ways to make sure you have good, strong social connections, or lots of, like, nice, friendly social connections with people you're not even close to? That is also a good thing. Want to hear your friendship, maybe success stories, how you keep things going? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And do you feel it? Do you feel like those social connections make you a happier person? We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with New York Times columnist Jancy Dunn about her 7-day happiness challenge. Every day of the challenge, there's a new way to make new social connections, strengthen the ones we've already got. It's the road to happiness. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, maybe your own experiences, how you try to build and keep and maintain connections. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Burlington. Jeff, hi.
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my call. I'm approaching 70, and after a career in real estate and local politics, I've found the best way to maintain a wide circle of friendly relationships is to say thank you to everybody for everything. Somebody makes a nice comment, you say thank you. Somebody makes a mean comment, you say thank you. You just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And a trick that the first President Bush used was to write 50 thank you notes every night before going to bed. I can't do that, but I did write 5 thank you notes every night before going to bed and mail them out the next day. So the more you thank people, the more they will want to take your next call.
Jeff, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. Jancy, it's the little things sometimes that can help build these connections.
Yes, and this leads into one of our exercises, which is to send a note of thanks to somebody who made a difference in your life. And it can be hard to be vulnerable when you thank them, but, you know, it can make their day or their week or their month. I remember looking at a report card for my fourth grade class, and my teacher, Mrs. Manley, when I was growing up in Cleveland, she said, in the comments, Jancy can really write. I think she's going to be a writer one day. And I can remember being in fourth grade and thinking, wait, what? You can be a writer? You know, I didn't even know you could be one. My dad was a JCPenney manager, and she put it in my head. So I remember thinking, wait, is she still around? And she was. She's still with us. I wrote her a letter, and she has become my grandmother. I lost both of my grandmothers, and she didn't have any children. And now we write back and forth. I sent her flowers for her 90th birthday. I called her on New Year's Day. I owe her another call, actually. And that came from one letter. She sent me a letter immediately back. And you just don't know where it can lead. And it's really nice. And so, yeah, that was one exercise. And also, if you have a partner in your life, one of the exercises is to write down 10 different things that you like that your partner has done for you. Not qualities, not like, oh, you're cute or whatever, but you've done this for me, you've done this for me, things you appreciate. And I remember doing this for a couples therapist. And one of the things that I wrote for my husband, Tom, who went to school in Wisconsin, it was, you painted my parents' house last summer. And then I thought, wait, you painted my parents' house last summer? Like, this blew by me? He was up on a rickety ladder in the heat near a wasp's nest every weekend for a long time. And like, you know, in the rush of daily life, you don't think about that. I started to cry. And so it's really an unusual exercise to read it aloud to your partner and to make eye contact. But he never forgot it. I never forgot it. And so that's one of the exercises as well. And it all goes back to what the caller said about gratitude, right? And you think it, but sometimes you don't voice it or write it down or email or text. And it's better to do a eulogy for somebody when they're alive, right? Rather than after they've gone.
Thanks again for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Jancy Dunn from the New York Times. Her 7-day happiness challenge looks at ways to build better relationships. We've got a link up at WPR.org/Central Time. Now, here's another, it seems like a small thing, small talk with strangers. Now, some people hate small talk. I like it. I feel like I'm not very good at it or confident with it. Really, we can get benefits from just that little bit of small talk with somebody we don't really know?
Think about when you've talked to somebody random on like a plane, and maybe you don't even learn their name or anything, but you have some sort of exchange that stays with you. I can think of conversations I've had with people on planes from years ago, and they still made an impact. And it doesn't need to be deep. You don't even need to know the person for it to stick with you. And even, you know, when you go to the grocery store or something and you have a nice exchange with somebody, you have that little kind of glow of well-being afterwards where you're like, ah, oh. You know, it's even when someone lets you in traffic, that like there's something about a random connection that gives you real happiness. And so, but we do understand that it can be really difficult for people. Not everybody's a small talk person. You know, as you say, it's you don't even do it sometimes. And so we just gave a few easy ways to get started. And also people are rightly afraid of rejection. I mean, even for the exercise, I was making small talk with people, and sometimes people would edge away because they were afraid I was trying to sell them something or I was going to pull out a pamphlet or something. So it doesn't always hit. But when they're rejecting you, when they're edging away, they don't know you. They're not rejecting you. They don't know you. And I kept trying to tell myself that, and we told readers that. So an easy way to strike up a conversation is always, you know, if someone has a cute kid or a baby or a dog, you can't go wrong. I always will say, you know, what's it like that no one makes, you know, to the person who is the parent, you know, what's it like that no one makes eye contact with you ever again because your kid is so cute? And then they're like, or if you're talking about a dog, is this dog always this well-behaved? People, then they inevitably will say, oh no, you know, he definitely keeps me, you know, hopping. I always give this example. It's in the article. Mm-hmm. I was walking around my neighborhood and there's a lady whose dog, her dachshund, always barks at me, and it drove me insane. And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to take this challenge and I'm going to go talk to this lady. So I said, how can I get your dog to like me? He just doesn't seem to like me. And she said, oh, Petey doesn't like it when people wear hats. And I said, excuse me? Petey gets upset and he barks. And I can't tell everyone in the neighborhood that, because then I would never go anywhere. So yeah, winters are tough for Petey because everyone has hats on. And I thought, okay, number one, I love the name Petey. Number two, I love your dog. And when I see Petey now, I quickly rip off my hat so that Petey won't get tense and bark. And it's almost like a little game. So my point is that my neighborhood is friendlier now because I can't wait to see Petey coming. And now I have a connection with the woman that I was talking to. And it's almost selfish because it's friendlier for you too. It makes, you know, your kind of mobile world friendlier as you move through it.
in our last minute or so, I understand you've heard back from people now who have tried the 7-day happiness challenge. What kind of feedback are you getting?
Oh my goodness. We would read through the comments and we would be in tears. And I've been interacting with some of the readers as well. We had one person who said, oh, I've been estranged from my brother for 30 years. And I texted him, I found his text number and I asked him, do you want to just talk for 8 minutes? And the brother said yes. And they talked for the first time. And I mean, you just can't, you know, there was someone else whose wife had died. And the person didn't want to leave the house. And, you know, they'd been together for 32 years. And they were taking some of the challenges just so they could build up their connections again and not feel so alone. And even what is touching is people who have difficulty making small talk, and they would say, okay, today I went up to the receptionist at the place where I teach ballroom dancing. This was one lady, and I talked to the receptionist, and it was very hard for me, but I did it, you know, and we would all cheer each other on because it can be so difficult for people. And we do understand that. So there's been tons of stories like that. And it just reinforces that people are hungry for connection.
Jancy, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Oh, a pleasure to be here.
That's Jancy Dunn, columnist for The Well at the New York Times. She talked to us about her recent series, The 7-Day Happiness Challenge. We've got a link to that up at WPR.org/Central Time.